This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So we've been discussing things that's very, very dear to our hearts as a leadership, and I can honestly say not only from my heart, but from everyone at the office and from our elders and from our leadership group and everyone that I speak to, we can absolutely sense God building His church. He's building His church. And for those of you that's thinking, yo, Henny says that a lot, I'm going to say it a few more times. God is building His church, and we have to have perspective on what's busy happening. Otherwise, we are going to misinterpret what's happening in us and around us. God is busy building His church. Why? Because He is needed on earth. Now, if we say it like that, we'd say, Lord, please build faster. Right? Lord, can we just see more? Can we just receive more? Just more of You? And in response to that, I really sense the Holy Spirit say, I'm calling each one of you to submit more, to yield more, to receive more, to obey more, so I can be revealed on earth. And it's so beautiful. Craig's been speaking to us about the journey of sanctification, and last week, tapping a bit into your body and your soul and your spirit. And I really want to encourage you. In this congregation, we aim at moving from one point to the next. So if you missed a sermon, then it might feel from time to time as if there's a puzzle piece missing. Because there's not a single gathering that goes by that we don't experience the Holy Spirit very specifically giving us just the next step. And we see that in many different aspects of us as a church family. We see the next step. You know, we experience, especially in this season, not God shining a spotlight into the future, but Him being the lamp on our feet. Seeing there where we are walking. And if that's also something that you can relate to, just know it's the season. It's the season where you will see a light on your feet and see your next step. And I was so excited when all the words came of water and of everything, because when I prayed into this concept and I listened to what the Holy Spirit shared on Danielle's heart as well, I was just so blessed. When we think about the word sanctification, we immediately have to get something said, and that is that, and Craig also mentioned that last week, when we are not saved yet, we tend to look with our physical eyes, from our physical perspectives, and with our soul dimension, gathering as much as possible information from the world that we are living in, and then making that our identity. If we do that, we end up putting our identity and our value and who we are in what we have, what we own, the title we have at work, the position we have in church. Many people feel it's not okay to just move a chair. I have to hold the mic at least once, even if I just give it to someone to speak on. You know, there's these stuff happening where we measure our value without even knowing it, because there's a disconnect. But when we get saved, something beautiful happens. Our identity are regenerated. We are made alive, and the breath of God is being breathed into us, and that immediately changed our identity. And like we saw last week, and as Craig also mentioned, the moment our identities are renewed, we are from then on perfect people. Right? Nee, Nama? You look confused, brother. That must be a confident. That's not the truth. I'm trying to think now of what words I would imagine you saying, because you're always so polished in your way of speaking. But that's a very definite no. When our spirits are regenerated, something changes. And there are certain things that actually had to be let go, like we've heard this morning as well. You know, for some of us, it's been a while before we got saved. It was a while before we got saved. For some of us here, we are not 100% sure, and some of us have never chosen for Jesus. But if you had 10 years before you got saved, it means you had 10 years in which you were properly trained how to gather your identity from things that's happening around you. If you are 15 years old, when you meet Jesus, it means it was 15 years of experience of gathering information around you to determine your value and determine who you are. If you meet Jesus at 20 years of age, it means that you had 20 years of experience of finding your identity in your academics, in the course that you are studying, in the friends that you are friends with, in the circles that you find yourself in. And so we can go on and on and on and on. And for those of us that's honest with ourselves, we'd know that if we are not careful, that happens still today. It happens still today that we look at a beautiful worship set like this morning, and maybe some of the musicians this morning feel, was that good enough? Measuring from the outside. Measuring from the way people look at us. Now, often when you stand here in front, you can see many things happening in people's faces. I don't know whether many of you know that, but I can see as we speak that people are like doing things, you know, frowning and sometimes smiling and sometimes looking confused. And then I know I'll have to send the recording or I'll have to do the sermon again. Maybe make sure. If you think about God's character, how intentional do you think is God about the process of sanctification in your life? If you think about your life and if you think about God in His character, how intentional do you think He is about sanctification in your life? I think the honest answer would probably be very intentional, right? Maybe more intentional than we understand. Because maybe this morning we've actually took some things that was meant by God to sanctify us and we made it about ourselves, like Danielle shared. Didn't even see it necessarily as sanctification. So when I prepared about this morning, I thought I'm going to ask a lot of questions that you can discuss amongst each other. And then I immediately thought about the introverts. Feeling, why does Henny always do that? And then I thought maybe it will help the introverts if I say, those of you that feel safe with the person next to you, just raise your hand. And then I thought, so then we'll get everyone looking at each other and then seeing, okay, this guy next to me is not raising his hand. So obviously something of me is not very safe. Ne, Christy? But you will have to raise your hand. You only have the honor. You only have the honor next to you, so be careful. But I want you to turn to someone next to you quickly and just say, if you hear the word sanctification, what comes to mind? What does it mean? Quickly. 2 minutes. For those of you that's Afrikaans that doesn't know what sanctification is, that's heiligmaking. For those of you that's not Afrikaans or English, I don't know what it is in Zulu and the other languages. Okay. What I can gather to this point is that the topic of sanctification is probably worth a braai if I listen to the discussions that's... And I'm not speaking about braai in the sense of turning or burning. I'm speaking about braai like in really braaiing meat and talking about sanctification. Okay. Awesome. So let's dig a bit into the word sanctification just for a moment. So if you purely look at the definition of the word sanctification, two encyclopedias of the Bible really made sense to me, and I enjoyed the definition of that quite a lot. The one is, sanctification is more than mere moral reformation of character. It's a work of the Holy Spirit bringing the whole nature more and more under the influence of the new gracious principles implanted in the soul in regeneration. Nee? It has to be said again. That's why I put it there, because I thought if I just read this just quickly, because we don't want to camp here. But just quickly, it's more than a mere moral reformation of character. So we can easily reduce sanctification to just being better. Looking better, acting better. It's a work of the Holy Spirit bringing my whole nature more and more under the influence of the new gracious principles implanted in the soul in regeneration. My whole nature. Second word definition is not so loaded. Listen to this. Being made holy. Set aside. You know, when I read this, set aside and being made holy, I felt, yo, Lord, thank you for putting that in there, because sanctification often makes us feel secluded. And if we don't understand being set aside as holy people of God, then we might regret the fact that he's making me holy. Because it's quite a lonely place sometimes. If you look at people that's doing things in the same direction and you are the only one that's being set aside, being different, sometimes that's really hard. Right? Okay, it's only for me. Purified. Also used in relation to other words like regeneration, justification, and glorification. So it's a very specific thing that happens. And when I thought about this, I was thinking to myself, what does this mean to me? And Johannes also cornered me here now with what does this mean to me in one sentence, although he didn't say it in one sentence. But when I have to say it in one sentence, I just want to explain to you that the pictures that almost came to mind was like a potter and clay. Was one of the images I saw. And then another image that I saw was like a burning fire, consuming something, burns away something. And although that's true, what I felt the Holy Spirit lay on my heart was water. In regeneration, Jesus says in John 4 that there's a well in us that's busy stirring up in us. And there's the inevitable outflow of that is that somewhere the water level rises to the point where it starts to actually almost boil out certain things that shouldn't be there. According to one of great theologians that I have many respect for, sanctification, it's on the next slide. Sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. But let's just think about that for a moment. It's a progressive work, which means it grows. It's progressive in nature. It's a work of God and of man. What does that mean? Can I sanctify myself? No. But it means there's a response, right? That makes us more and more free from sin. On the one side, healing us of many things. And then, like Christ, on the other side. So often, like Danielle also shared before the time, often we focus so much on what we need to let go, the sins that we need to repent, that we never become more like Him. You know, if we fight a battle in our hearts and in our minds on a daily basis where we just want to let go of all the negative stuff in our lives, we end up aiming at zero. Can we just receive that this morning? If we do this halfway, we are aiming at being, what would be the proper word? Almost like neutral. At the very best, if we let go of everything negative in us solely, we would literally stop being. But that's not the intention. The intention is to be like Christ. There's a formation happening of things letting go and things stirring in me that as I'm getting to know Jesus, I'm becoming more like Him. When we spoke about Ephesians, we saw that in the first three chapters of Ephesians, chapter 1 to 3, and Belene explained that to us beautifully. There's something of the heart and something of our identity that's mentioned in chapter 1 to 3. And then there's something of, what does that identity and that character bring in chapter 4 to chapter 6? Now, when we think about two words, and I just felt that we needed to understand this, and we are progressively going to go through this and we'll stop. As soon as I see you yawning, we'll stop and we'll just pray for the from there. Anele, I'm appointing you as the official yawner. So if you at any time feel someone should have yawned by now, just wave at Anele. I will. I didn't discuss that with Anele before that time, but I know you'll be able to handle the responsibility. Okay. So just quickly, if we understand the difference between justification and sanctification, this will help a lot. Why? Because we get caught up between these two. Something has to now be finished and something is still going on and we're not getting this. Something of me should look like Jesus and something of me isn't, so obviously there's something wrong with me. I think next time when they make an altar call, I should probably go forward. Let's quickly. One of the people that explained this creates a difference between a judge and a surgeon. Both characters of Jesus, both characteristics of the Holy Spirit's work in us. So let's quickly see. On the judge side, Jesus, remember now, not the enemy as our judge, Jesus as our judge. We see justification. Justification is all about our legal standing. Guilty or not guilty. Okay? Justification has been done once for all time. Why? Because it was something that Jesus did. It wasn't something that I did. It was something that He did. He came to reconcile us to Him. I wasn't even there. And those people that was there, they also didn't give anything for that process. It was something that Jesus did. It was entirely God's work. It was perfect in this life. That was perfect in this life. That which happened in my spirit at regeneration is perfect in this life. And it's also the same in all Christians. Justification in Jesus is the same in all Christians. So there's a legal standing. There's a justification that's the finished work of Christ that's being regenerated in us when we come to salvation. When you choose to follow Jesus, you are being made alive in Him. Sanctification, on the other hand, is an internal condition. Now, the moment you see the word condition, then you already have to see, okay, something is, it's not the same. It's not a yes or no type thing. It's a condition. It's a continuous throughout life. It's some process that we cooperate in. It's not perfect in this life. And it's greater in some than in others. Anele, I'll be checking my watch as well. Don't worry. I won't only lean on you, brother. Let's speak about sanctification quickly. What does that look like? Before I go on, can I just say why? Why sanctification? Why do we need to understand this? When we get saved and we get adopted into this new family of Jesus Christ, He immediately starts to restore the type of relationship that He wants with us. And we're going to start with that now. If we think salvation is the beginning and end of our time with Jesus on earth, a lot of things is not going to make sense. A lot of your prayer life is not going to make sense. A lot of your times in quiet time with Jesus is not going to make sense. We get saved, and then we become part of this progressive work of sanctification, where we are being set free of sin, and we are getting to know the character of Christ in such a way that we are formed to also look like Him. We're going to go through four stages or things that we could identify in sanctification. The first one, sanctification has a definite beginning at regeneration. There's a definite beginning. If you think back on the day that you chose to start following Jesus, something changed. You didn't even necessarily have the words to explain it or to tell people what's going on, but something changed. Let's read Titus 3 verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3 verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. If justification by faith happens in a moment, like Pauline explained to us last time, there's something perfect being completed in him, but something perfect that we don't wholeheartedly understand yet. That doesn't immediately translate into our lives. The second thing that we can see, the second stage, sanctification increases throughout life. It increases. In Romans 6, verse 12 to 13, it's only one of the scriptures that's speaking about that specifically. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So speaking about a passive and an active part with regards to sanctification, here we can see that the Holy Spirit works in us, but there's something that we bring. There's some way that we respond. And what I'm thinking always about is the fact that we can position ourselves for sin. Let's just stand still at that. Sin, in its most basic form, I think you've heard this probably many times to this point, but sin basically means missing the mark. Now, we often tend to think missing the mark as in, I should have not done that, and I should have done this. Can we for a moment take a step back and say that that action came from somewhere? So the real sin happens when I made the decision to position myself somewhere. I'll use my brother in Secunda's testimony. He said, you know, way before he started using drugs, he knew on what street corner they sold the drugs, and he chose to go to that corner. Eventually, he bought drugs, and eventually, he became a drug addict. What's the sin? He went to the corner. When we go to the corners of life, we end up sinning. We end up seeing sin. But what was the miss? Me positioning myself for sin. If you take a step back at some things in your life currently that you are not happy with, you can easily take a few steps back and say, I can see where this started. If I battle with pornography, no one was home, it was only me there, and I thought, let me just go check my emails. Why would I want to check my emails then? Why would I want to position myself to be in a place where I am with my laptop, alone, where there's no one else that can keep me accountable? Why would I do that? Before you click the browser open, before you take a step into any direction or whatever, there are many things that happens. Now you must think, the moment that arrow has been shot, the destination was sure. I was already positioned. It increases throughout life. What does that mean? I can't always repent of sin. Somewhere I see my life heading somewhere. There's a sanctification increases that over life. So what does this mean? It means that if today I'm not different from yesterday, something is not going well with regards to me hearing the Holy Spirit's voice in my life. It's progressive by nature. Something is continuously changing in me. The third one, sanctification is completed at death for our souls and when the Lord returns for our bodies. Sanctification is completed at death for our souls and when the Lord returns for our bodies. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, and Craig also mentioned that last week. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be completed on this earth. We won't reach, if we have the mind that we are going to be successful in being completely like Jesus on earth, we are setting ourselves up for failure. And that most probably might end up in pride. The fourth one, sanctification is never completed in this life. Now that you might feel goes without saying. But this is about our heart. Let's see 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. This is a hard thing. The moment we look at a word saying, I will not be perfect on earth, but I will be perfect when Jesus comes, and your response is, okay, so then I might as well stop trying. Then something in my heart is not right. And it's easy in this moment to maybe find it a bit lighthearted, but we often do that. We often feel there's this thing in my life constantly chasing me, constantly coming after me. I might as well, I'm not going to make it on earth. Where would typical statements like, this is the temper I have. You knew this when we got married. If you did not accept me the way I am to this point, then you should probably start, because this is who I am. There are certain things I do, and there are certain things that I don't do. That communicates a heart that's hardened, that's not submissive and not yielding to the process of sanctification in your life. Now, before I go on, if you thought about three people that you now want to send this message to, please just first ask the Lord if it's not maybe true in your own life. Although we appreciate it when you invite people to the services, this is not the time. you might up offending people and they are going to blame me because I had the mic, not you. Okay? So let's, as a church family, check our hearts. What's my heart saying? You know, where we also see this is in stuff that we have battled for quite a while. And we're going to specifically pray into that this morning, so I'm not going to speak too much about that. Quickly, two or three points, and then we're going to pray. God and man cooperate in sanctification. God's role is primary, and our role is both passive in a yielding and a surrender way, and active as in I'm bringing myself to Him, saying, Lord, come shine your light in me. Come reveal in my life what's not aligned with your will. Sanctification affects the whole person. It affects my intellect. It affects my emotions. It affects my will. It affects my spirit. And it affects my physical body. God can progressively heal your physical body in the same way that He can heal you spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, in your will. The last point before we pray, the beauty and joy of sanctification. The more we grow in the likeness of Christ, the more we will personally experience the joy and peace that are a part of the fruit of the Spirit, and the more we will draw near to the kind of life that we will have in heaven. Now, there's a few points that shows what this looks like, and I just want to read through them quickly. If we are being sanctified by Christ to look more like Him, the following things might be evident in our lives. A desire to please God and to express love to Him. The need to keep a clear conscience before Him. The desire to be a vessel for noble use and have increased effectiveness in the work of the kingdom. Increased. The desire to see unbelievers come to Christ through observing our lives. Follow me like I follow Jesus. The desire to receive present blessings from God on our lives and ministries. The desire to avoid God's displeasure and discipline on our lives. The desire to seek greater heavenly reward. The desire for a deeper walk with God. The desire that angels would glorify God for our obedience. That's in Scripture. The desire for peace and joy in our lives. The desire to do what God commands simply because His commands are right and we delight in doing what is right. A desire to see the active work of the Holy Spirit work in me and me yielding and obeying and submitting to Him. Now, what I felt the Holy Spirit laid on my heart for this morning specifically is, without us knowing, and maybe because we don't understand, there are certain parts of sanctification in our lives that we have normalized for us. And what I'm speaking about is negative things. There's certain things in our lives that we receive as now the new norm. If we do that, it means that our anticipation of our hearts is no longer to be progressively renewed in the Spirit as we follow Jesus. All of us have gotten used to the fact that maybe I battle to sleep. Maybe I have depression. Maybe I have a problem with alcohol abuse. Maybe I have a problem with another addiction of sort. Maybe I battle with my quiet time. Maybe I battle with my prayer life. Maybe I battle with bitterness towards my spouse, my wife, my husband. And instead of a yielding heart, submitting to the sanctification and healing process of Jesus in my life, I've normalized certain things that I will never get over with while I am on earth. Nowhere in Scripture do we find the Holy Spirit say, you will only be complete at death, therefore expect to battle with this certain thing until you die. That was not the call. The call was to keep wholeheartedly following Jesus. And what I want to trust the Holy Spirit for this morning is for two things. Let's normalize vulnerable sanctification. Let's normalize vulnerable sanctification. What does that look like? Let's normalize vulnerable conversations saying, I'm battling with this. I need prayer. Let's normalize the confession of sin. Let's normalize praying a healing over each other. Whether it's in your intellect, in your will, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit that you need regeneration, let's normalize us as a church family praying for each other. And the second part is, it might happen here, but in this congregation and aligned with the Holy Spirit's guidance, we felt led to have actually a mercy ministry in this congregation that's making an effort of specifically helping people pray through certain things in certain seasons of their life. Now, that may include inner healing, that may include deliverance, that may include many facets and things that we need to pray for. But I want to say this, the price that Jesus paid was perfect. If you are not walking in that, something is wrong. Can we believe that this morning? If you are not walking in the fullness of Christ with His peace and with His love in you, in every aspect, in every day of your life, something is wrong. And there's sanctification that God wants to bring in your life. Make that normal. Make that normal. So let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.